Grateful for all the blessings the Lord's given us. And it's always a blessing to come to God's house. I want to say that we've enjoyed the wonderful meal once again. We've enjoyed the fellowship. We've enjoyed this service thus far tonight. The singing of great songs of Zion, a special number, the message already from God's Word with Brother Paul. And we are here, as it's been stated, that we might worship the Lord. It's so good that we have that privilege. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we take for granted. And that's one of them. It's having the privilege to worship the Lord. And be able to be in a church where the truth is preached. I tell you, to this day and time, that's a valuable asset. And we're thankful for this opportunity. And I'm thankful for an invitation to be able to come and preach to a church where we're in agreement. You know, it's good to know that people like what you're saying. Amen. You know, through the years you learn, as I told you before, you know, sometimes to some people I'm Brother Fortner, and to some people I'm Tom Fortner, and to some others I'm old Tom Fortner. And, you know, it's good to see people rejoicing and smiling and nodding their head, but I have seen them go this way, you know. And, you know, it's really a wonderful thing to be able to have a part in God's service. And sometimes God has to work on people. You know, a thought came to my mind years ago, a number of years ago. I came over around Dexter, Missouri, several years in revival. But one particular year, I was there, and we went out one afternoon when we were talking to some people. And I was talking to a couple of teenage girls up in their upper teens, nearly 20 years old. And anyway, I went that night to eat supper, and the man there said, "Brother Tom, did you know you made those girls mad today?" And I said, "No, I didn't know I made them mad. I just simply told them if they didn't get saved, they're going to hell." And he said, "Well, you made them mad." But anyway, you know, we got to church, and I looked back over here to my right at the very back seat, and there they sit. It looked like they was all swelled up, you know, and I wondered why they was there, but the Lord had a reason for them being there. But what I'm saying is I preached, and lo and behold, both of those girls came down to the front and trusted the Lord as their Savior. And one of them, after she got saved, she said, "Can I hug your neck?" And I said, "Go at it." But what I'm saying is the difference is the Lord. The same message that made them mad made them glad. It's kind of like, you know, Grandpa and Grandma sitting in the living room or by the fire, and the old tomcat laying there, and Grandpa is rubbing the cat's fur, and just so happened to be rubbing it the wrong way, and the sparks was flying, and old Tom was hollering, and Ma said to Paul, said, "Paul, said, why don't you rub the cat's fur the other way?" And he said, "If the cat don't like it, let him turn around." The same stroke that roughed his fur made him purr. Amen. So that's the way it works. Thank God. And I'm just saying it's a blessing to be where the Holy Spirit is. Amen. It's a blessing to be among people that you're in agreement with in the Word of God. And I want you to know that we're thankful to be here. And it's such a joy to serve God. I want you to know that, I've been serving God a long time, about 60 years. But you know, the beautiful thing is, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And the longer I preach God's Word, the sweeter it gets. And you know, it just gets better and better and better. And so we're just rejoicing tonight. And we just, as that already been stated, we just want to worship the Lord. And I'm thankful that we can do that tonight. I'd like to invite your attention to Romans chapter number 12. And I want to read the first two verses. These are very familiar with you, I'm sure. But here in verse 1 of Romans 12, Apostle Paul writing to the Romans saying, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we realize that we've been well blessed, and we're just so thankful for all the blessings that You've given us. Thankful, Lord, for the privilege we have to assemble together to worship You. Thank You, Lord, for the songs that have been sung, for the prayers that have been prayed, for the message that's been preached already. And now, Lord, we thank You for the Word that we've just read. Father, I'm grateful for the Word of God. Lord, what a blessing it is to our heart. And we pray that You'd help us tonight, that we might be able to rightly divide Thy Word of truth. God, that You will just use me one more time, that as I stand here tonight, that You might speak through me Thy Word. And Father, we just pray that we'll take heed to what we hear, and that we'll apply the principles of Thy Word to our hearts and lives, that we might bring forth fruit for Thy glory. Lord, whatever is accomplished in this service, we'll give You all the praise, honor, and the glory, because we ask these things in the sweet, loving name of Jesus, and for His sake we pray. Amen. Now, I'd like to notice here this last verse, verse number 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And now notice this, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We want to think tonight about this perfect will of God, or an acceptable sacrifice unto God. What a blessing as we think about this. You see, the writer here is saying for us to yield our bodies. That's all God wants us to do, is just be willing to yield. You see, God wants a complete surrender. That's the only way that we can do what God wants us to do, and that is that we would surrender. As I've already stated, you know, I went for several years before I ever surrendered to preach the Word of God. I wasn't trying to be ugly. I wasn't necessarily trying to get out of it. I just didn't think I could do it. And in fact, I didn't see how I could do it. Anyone that didn't have any better memory than I had, how in, under God's heaven could I get before people and speak to them? So, you see, I came to the place that all I could do was just surrender. I said, "Lord, here I am, use me." The same words that Isaiah said, "Lord, here am I, send me." I said, "Lord, if You can use a person like me, here I am." And so I'm thankful that God is willing to use us. And my friends, listen, God will use anything and anyone that will surrender to them. He'll take you, and He'll get done from and through you and from you what He wants to be done. All right, so God wants us to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you see, there's three things we notice in these verses where God speaks about in order to have and find the perfect will of God. Verse number 2, first of all, He says, notice, "and be not conformed to this world." You see, conform means to be in agreement with. Or it means to have the same form. It means to act in accordance with. So what God is saying here, for us not to be conformed to this world. In other words, we shouldn't be in agreement with this world. We should not be in the same form as this world. We should not act in accordance with this world. You see, that's where the trouble is tonight. You see, we don't need to act like the world. We don't need to talk like the world. We don't need to walk like the world. We don't need to dress like the world. You know, it's really strange to me that people are arguing today, and they say, "Well, it don't make any difference how you dress." But they say, "God don't care." But listen, I believe He does. Well, even in the workforce, it's already been proven it makes a difference how people dress. You know how Paul Harvey, he introduced this casual Friday. Amen. Did you know he's already retraced that? He's already decided that it does make a difference. He said that they have determined that it does make a difference the way that people dress. But anyway, I that don't bother you because I want to say to you ladies, I appreciate the way you dress. Amen. I think women ought to wear dresses, men ought to wear pants and shirts. Amen. Amen. Not shorts and bare. But anyway, you see, what I'm saying is I believe it makes a difference. I believe God wants us to be decent, you know. But I won't get into that. And I'm thankful that they don't throw a coldness on this service. Because a lot of places you go, you talk about the woman's dress, you'll throw a coldness on it right quick. But anyway, I know what I'm talking about. I've been in a long time, and I know in our area we have a hard time. And listen, you try to build a new church now. As I told you, the Lord's helped us to build two in the last 20-30 years. But anyway, and I tell you, when you build new churches, you run into this constantly. And they say, I don't see why I can't come like I was at work. Well, anyway, I don't tell them they can't come. I just tell them when they get there, they're how they ought to dress, and they don't like it. But I can't help that. But anyway, you see, we're talking about the fact of not being conformed to this world. All right, so then the second thing we see here in verse number 2, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, I'm thankful that when God saves us, He changes us. I like what Paul said. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I believe when God saves people, they are changed. They are different. And I tell you, I thank God for that. And then we find also the third thing. He said, present your bodies, there in verse number 1. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice. All right, now then, you see, and we ask, the question comes in our mind, why is God concerned about our body? He's telling us here, you see, how that we need to perform. Why is God concerned about our body? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. Turn with us here in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6, and verses 18 and 19. I'm sure you already, some of you already know what this says. But anyway, he says, what? Remember, this is the same writer, the Apostle Paul, who was writing to the Romans, is writing to the Corinthian church. And you know, I thank God for the local church, for the New Testament church. And you know, I realize today we're living in a time when the doctrine of the church is really being misused. But I'm thankful for the fact that God loves His church, and Jesus built His church during His personal ministry. And I'm thankful that there is a difference between the Lord's church and the worldly church. Now, I want to be a part of the Lord's church. But anyway, he was writing to the church in Corinth. And he said here, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful that we're bought with a price. We're not our own. Somebody said, well, I'm grown. I can do as I want to do. But we can't. We're bought with a price. We belong to the Lord. We're His servants. We're His bond slaves. He's our boss. And we need to do what He tells us to do. You know, I've worked through the years until a few years ago. I've been preaching, pastoring a long time. But anyway, I used to work and have bosses. And I didn't like all of them. But I tried to do what they told me to do. When I was in Murray, Kentucky, went to my first church there, and I had to work because the church wasn't able to support me. And anyway, I had a boss I didn't particularly like. I liked him personally, but I didn't like the way he did his bossing. But anyway, but what I'm saying is, whatever he told me to do, I tried to do it. Why? Because he's my boss. I said, when he said, do this, I said, yes, sir. Sometimes I didn't see any need of it, but that doesn't make any difference. We just need to do what God tells us to do. Let me give you an illustration. I heard this lesson one time years ago. And this man wanted a job. And so this boss man, he wanted to really see if he did want a job. He wanted to really see if he would do what he was told to do. We're talking about obeying the Lord. And so he said, come with me. I'll show you what I want you to do. He said, here's a wheelbarrow and here's a pile of brick. I want you to move those brick over here on this side of the lot. And when you get through, you come back and let me know. So he put the brick in the wheelbarrow and roll them across and put them in place and go back and get another one until he got it over there. Got them all moved from here to over here. And then he goes in to the boss man and said, all right, sir, I've got the bricks moved. Now, what do you want me to do? He said, come here, I want to show you. He said, now you see these brick? He said, yes, I want you to move this brick over here. He said, okay. So he went away and the man moved the brick. He'd roll the wheelbarrow here and put it, came back, got another load. He'd put them over there and he got through and he went back and he said, I got to move. What do you want me to do? He said, come here, I'll show you. He said, I want you to take these bricks and put them over there. We did that all day long. They got through and he went in that night and the boss man said, okay, I'm going to hire you because you did what I told you to do. He didn't see any sense of it. He didn't see a need of it. But that's what the boss man says. So what I'm saying tonight is that the Lord is our boss, and whatever He says, we ought to do it. A lot of things we do, the world don't see any need of it. I remember when I was pastor of Midway Baptist Church just across the Mississippi River in Kentucky. And I'd been there 3.5 years, and God had blessed, and the church had done well, and in 3.5 years I'd seen 150 souls saved, and baptized 125 of them. Church had gone from 10 and 12 up to over 100. But anyway, and I was there 3.5 years, and I knew in my heart that it was time for me to resign, and I did. But anyway, I was up in uptown the next day. One of my friends that I had gone to school with back years before that, she came to me, and she was a member of a Southern Baptist church there in the area. But anyway, she said, Tom, she said, I want you to know, she said, you either know the will of God or you've made the dumbest move I've ever known. Because she said, the church is doing well, and so you either know the will of God or you're making the biggest mess that you've ever made. And that's true. But anyway, we're talking about just simply doing what God wants us to do. So God had other places for me, other work for me, and I'm thankful to just be willing to follow Him. Alright, so God is concerned about our body. You see, we need to remember when these New Testament writers wrote about the temple, you see, we must remember that they had a Jewish background, and they were educated in Jewish scriptures, and they had a Jewish mind. You know, it's such a blessing to know that those Jews, they knew the Word of God. That's why when Nicodemus came to Jesus, you see, by night, and that's why you see that Jesus told him what he did, because he knew that Nicodemus had a good knowledge of the Scriptures. And what did he tell him? He said, as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's why, because he knew that Nicodemus had been taught the Scriptures. He knew what that lesson had to say, and so he used that as an example. And so it's a blessing to when we know that people know the Word of God. Thank God for you parents that are teaching and training your children. You'll never know what that means, and I believe it makes a difference. I teach our young people. Thank God for you young couples here. Thank God for these children. Now we're like you, we have a lot of children. I thank God for that. But anyway, I teach our young parents constantly, and those that's expecting babies, and those that are thinking they will, I try to encourage them to what they need to do. They need to teach those children the Word of God, and start even when they're in the womb. Talking to them, praying with them, and singing to them. The young ladies in our church, they'll tell you and they'll declare that when their babies are born, they know my voice. They'll tell you that. Because they said, you know, when they bring them in auditorium and I begin to preach, that they can see the expression. They believe it. They know me. But that's what I'm trying to say is we need to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Beginning even when they're in the womb. Well, so anyway, it's a known fact that even the doctors recognize the fact. There's something about talking to your babies before they're born. But we won't get into that. I'm just telling you that God wants us to instruct them in the Word of the Lord. What a blessing. Now then, as we think about this temple, look at the Old Testament temple. What was the Old Testament temple for? We know, you know, first of all, that was the tabernacle. It was a portable building, and they would set it up, and they'd worship, and, you know, when God was ready for them to move, you know, the story, either the cloud in the daytime or the pillar fire at night would begin to move, and then the Levites would take it down and carry it, and then they'd set it back up. That was their place of worship. Then they came to the Solomon's temple. What a great blessing there we see, you know, as we find that David prepared the material, and Solomon, you see, they built the temple, and we come over to the New Testament then, John the Baptist prepared the material, and Jesus organized His church. Well, thank God for those glorious truths. But anyway, so that we in the Old Testament temple, you see, this was the place where God was. That's where He dwelt. And that's where the service of God was performed. It was where consecrated things were offered to God. And it was where the glory of God would come down. And now then, as we think about this temple, you see, in our text tonight, Paul's talking about this temple. All right, now then. And so you see, this body, This the temple we have, you see, is to be used of God. This temple is where the Lord is. And it's where the service of the Lord is performed. It's where the glory of God is seen. As I said before, I'm so thankful to be saved. I'm so thankful to have the privilege to serve the Lord and live for Him who died for me. He did the great work for me. And so God, what God is saying here is, I want you to present the functions and the activities of your bodies as a sacrifice. God wants us to live for Him. He don't want us to die for Him now. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to die to self. And that's where the problem is. It's hard to die to self. Now then, as we think about we want to consider three things tonight. And that is their obligation. And then the order of the sacrifice. And then the outcome of the sacrifice. Now let's think about, the order of the sacrifice. Look at verse number 1. Back to Romans chapter 12. And look at verse number 1. Paul saying, I beseech you. In other words, I beg of you. I plead with you. But then look at that next word, therefore. That word therefore is an outstanding word. When you see that, you know there's something special. What he's saying here at this point, I want to call your attention to this. Or I said that I might say this. Or in other words, I'm fixing to bring things to a climax. Want you to listen. Want you to get this. All right, so he's saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now then, you see, by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? Well, he has spent 11 chapters talking about the mercies of God. Thank God for His Word. You know, first one verses, chapters 1, 2, and 3, he talks about the fact that the Jews and the Gentiles both are lost. They're lost alike. You know, that's a great fact that the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We all need to be born again. You know, that's today people have a hard time seeing that, because if you do any personal work, you talk to people, many, many times they'll say, well, I'm not too bad. Well, the truth is, they're not too good. That's the problem. I was the son of a Baptist preacher. My mother was a godly woman. I was taught right from wrong. We were taught all the principles that should have been taught. We were taught not to gamble. My daddy and mom wouldn't even let us flip pennies. My daddy and mom wouldn't let us roll dice. You see, and all these things. But even though all that was true, when I was born in this world, I want you to know I was just as sinful as any other person. And I was brought up on the Word of God, and I heard God's Word for 10 years. But then, in the early part of 1945, one day, there in the Campton Baptist Church in Campton, Kentucky, I really heard it. I mean, God smote my heart with the Word of God, and I really heard the message in my heart. Oh, what a blessing. And I'm so thankful for God as He works in our heart. You know, by the time I was 10 years old, I had heard more preaching than the average person had heard by the time they're 30. Because, as I told you the other night, my dad was a preacher. And that, of course, that just started with my dad. But anyway, he was a drunk before I was born. But I'm thankful to God that God saved him. And all I can remember is a preacher daddy. But anyway, what I'm saying is that my dad, everywhere he had a church, everywhere he pastored the church, he also had a mission work going on at the same time. I mentioned the night, the day I got saved, I walked with him up the mountain trail in the afternoon, walked 3 miles and heard him preach and walked back down. But anyway, what I'm saying is, all those years I heard the Word of God preached, but it just went in my head, but there came a time it went into my heart. I want my heart's desire tonight is to be a blessing to you. There's one in this house tonight that are not saved. We're preaching to you. Listen, the Word, God gave His Word, and I'm thankful for that. And we all know that God has work to do in our heart. And He's the one that does work. If He doesn't do it, it won't be done. And I understand that. All right, so we're talking about the mercies of God, that we're all lost. And then we see in chapter 4, you see, Jesus came and died for the sinner. I'm thankful for that. You see, God took the initiative. We can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and see that. In the Garden of Eden. You know, how that Adam sinned against God, and Adam sinned, and Eve sinned, and all, you know the story. But anyway, I'm thankful that God took the initiative. God came on the scene, and of course Adam and Eve hid behind the tree. Why? Because they were guilty of sin. And God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" It wasn't the fact that God didn't know where Adam was. God warned Adam to know he's out of place. And so Adam, as you see, needed help. And I'm thankful for that. Now we see God working in the beginning, how that He took the animal, killed the animal, and skinned the animal, and clothed Adam and Eve. And oh, what a blessing. They were clothed in the robe of righteousness. And you know, because just like we are when we're saved by God's grace, He clothes us in His righteousness. You know, in Romans chapter 3, we find that Paul talked about this matter of salvation, talked about righteousness. And he said there in verses 20-21, he speaks concerning this matter. And he tells us that the righteousness of God is available to everyone, but only becomes a possession of those that believe. God's righteousness is available. Oh, what a blessing. What a joy. All right. Now then in chapter 5, God, we see God's redeeming grace. Thank God for God's grace. That's God's unmerited favor. Like I keep in mind, the Bible tells us, you see, that grace is God's unmerited favor toward man. Man-made religion today teaches that man's got to have a part in it. They believe that salvation is by works. They'll tell you that they know that Jesus died on the cross to pay our sin, but yet they'll turn around and say that we've got to be a good. And I tell our folks all the time, you go to the funeral homes and listen. Most everybody believes in works for salvation because they're always saying, if anybody got to heaven, surely they did because they were so good. I want you to know, no one got to heaven because they were good. The only people that go to heaven are those who washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that Jesus Christ gave His life. We're talking about God redeeming us by His power and by His amazing grace. And so, you see, God applied that death to the lost sinner. There's 5 steps of grace. We find, first of all, God being kind. And secondly, God being gracious. Thirdly, God giving salvation. I'm thankful that salvation is a gift. God gave it to me. I didn't deserve it. And you see, I couldn't get to it. I was totally depraved from the nature of God. You see, because God had, He drove Adam and Eve out of the garden and put a flaming sword in the gate. There no one could go back and partake of that. But anyway, you see, I'm thankful that God made a plan of salvation for us. Alright, so God gave salvation, God giving sanctification, and then last of all, God giving glorification. One day it's going to be gracious. We're thankful for that. And then also in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, God speaks to where believers can have victory over the devil. Listen, I'm grateful that He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. Because of what He's done for me, I can live for Him. I can't do it within myself. I mentioned the other night about David. You saw it as he faced Goliath. David recognized and realized that his victory was in the Lord. He told Goliath, he said, "You come to me in the name of Goliath. I come to you in the name of the Almighty God of heaven. And God is going to give you to me this day." My, what a blessing. All right, then you see in chapters 9, 10, and 11, God deals with Israel in the end time. And I tell you, I believe we're there. I'm not going to make a lot of predictions about what's going to happen. I just know one thing, that the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back. And He tells us in His Word that if we want to know where to look, just watch the Jews. They're God's timepiece. We know that you see the time is drawing near. Now I'm excited about that because I know that Jesus is coming. I don't know when He's coming, but I know He is. And the thing about it is I want to be ready. I know, first of all, I know I'm saved, but I want to be doing what I talked about last night. I want to be walking in with Him, having a good relationship with the Lord. What a blessing. What a joy. All right. So then we see in these first 11 chapters, we see the amazing grace of God. And so you see, Paul is saying here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Yes. So is it anything but right for us to be obligated to give God our body? That's all God wants us to do, is just give Him our body. I'm talking to the child of God tonight. That, you see, as Brother Wayne said in the beginning, you know, a revival is for God's children. You can't revive a lost person. They're dead. They're dead in trespasses and sin, and they're totally depraved from God. They cannot get back to God. They cannot do anything to get back to God. And so I'm thankful that God took the initiative, and God gave His all, and thank God for His work. But anyway, we rejoice tonight in these wonderful truths. So God wants us to give our body as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, dead to self and alive unto God. And I'm grateful that God is sovereign. God has us in His hands, and He can do with us as He deserves, as He desires to do. And if we got what we deserve, every one of us would die and go to hell. But thank God for His mercy that He shed abroad upon us when we were unlovable. We had nothing, you know, the song said, that nothing in my hand do I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling tonight, my friend. That's what it's all about. Yes. Now then, we talked about working here and our obligation. Now next, we want to think about the order. Look at the order of the sacrifice. You see, everything is not acceptable unto God. God don't accept everything. Now, I want you to know everything that goes on tonight in the name of religion, God doesn't accept it. First of all, a lot of this, a lot of the song services in churches, they don't believe God accepts. Right. I was just telling Brother Wayne today, I went in the church. I won't even tell you where it was or anything about it. But I went to church and I had to preach some time ago. And I tell you, I thought I was in a honky-tonk. And I had never been in a honky-tonk. I walked by them and drove by them, and that's all I walked. Boom, 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 boom. And that's what the song service was. And I told him, I said, the pianist couldn't keep, she couldn't sit still on the pew, on the seat. She was just jumping up and down on the piano stool. I don't believe that. I don't believe that is acceptable to God. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you that I don't think everything we do in the name of religion that God accepts. And same thing about preaching. I'm afraid that much of the so-called preaching that God doesn't accept it. I know He don't accept it if it's not the truth. The other night I was talking about the fact, what is truth? That's a serious question to me, because, you know, I've got some dear friends. Every time I say that, I think about a dear friend I have in our area. She's not an independent Baptist. Don't know if she doesn't know anything at all about the church doctrine. But she's always, and she really believes she's right, and she really wants to serve God and wants to do right. But anyway, she's always talking about that we believe the truth. And every time she says that, I think, well, you believe part of the truth, but you don't believe all the truth, because they came out to our church a few times and they don't like my stand on the church, and so they don't come back. But anyway, and I don't claim to know everything, but I know one thing. I thank God for the church truth, amen. I believe that Jesus organized His church during His personal ministry, and I believe it's local, it's not invisible, and it's not, you see, universal. Wouldn't you really love to have an invisible wife? Every day you come in and say, honey, I'm home. And you say, where are you? And she said, I'm up here on this light fixture. Now folks, you say, that's kind of stupid. Well, it is stupid. It's also stupid to say that the church is universal. I thank God for the glorious truth. But anyway, what I'm talking about is everything in the name of religion is not acceptable with God. All right. Now then, so you see, keep in mind that the writer, as he talks about this subject, he's looking at the Old Testament sacrifice. And you know about the sacrifice. The priest offered a sacrifice to God, and if it was acceptable, he could come out and bless the people. But if not, he died. So, you see, God, He wants everything to be done in accordance to His will. So, you see, to let the people know that He's alive, God instructed Him to wear the robe, and on the bottom of the robe it was a pomegranate and a bell, and a pomegranate and a bell. And as they moved about that in doing the sacrifice, that the pomegranates was there as a symbol, and the bells jingle to let them know that their high priest ever liveth. And now you see, or even liveth. our high priest doesn't just live, our high priest ever liveth. And I'm thankful for that. Glorious truth. All right. Now then, look with us in Hebrews chapter number 6. And I want to begin here with verse now number 19. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19. He said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. Thank God for that glorious truth. Then we want to turn on over into the 9th chapter. I want to read some here in verse number 11. Chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ become an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, herein once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I can't understand how people can read the Word of God and not believe in eternal security. I mean, that's the only kind of a sacrifice that God makes. And the only kind of redemption He has is eternal redemption. Forever and forever. I want you to know, when God saved me in 1945, He sealed me by His Holy Spirit. And He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'll be there one day to answer the roll call. Because with God, when He starts a good work in us, He will finish it. And I rejoice in those glorious truths. Okay, now then, verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats, ashes of an heifer, sprinkling unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Isn't that wonderful? When God saves us, He purges us. He changes us. And you know, as I've already stated, Paul's saying that become a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's such a blessing to be saved. People are, you know, their experience of salvation varies. You know, I was saved on the front seat of the Campton Baptist Church after the preacher preached. But our son, Neil Fortner's missionary in Spain, as you know, been there 27 years. And he'd been there several years. In fact, he preached to his wife for 7 years. But he was faithful and kept on preaching. And now God, they already had one organized church. They have about 40 in that church. Now he's starting a new one. But anyway, what I'm saying is that after, I don't know exactly how many years he'd been there, but he had several people that had gotten saved. But anyway, this one woman, Sister Isabel, she's one of the elderly ladies of the church. And after he preached her, I believe he had preached her for about 7 years. But anyway, one Sunday morning he was preaching, and Isabel stood up, and she said, Neil, I believe. Glory to God. He said that was all the preaching there, because he said everything came alive. Right. Isabel had believed. Folks, that's what it's all about, is believing. That's what she did. God works in her heart. God, you know, Neil has, he tries to be careful with those people, and he's very cautious with them, and he doesn't pressure them. We don't have to pressure people. All God wants to do is to preach the Word. And the Word of God does the work, as I've already stated, you know, about the Gospel. Thank God for the Gospel. And you know, Paul tells us what the Gospel is in Corinthians, chapter 1 Corinthians 15. He tells us how that Christ died for our sins and was buried according to Scriptures, and how He rose again according to Scriptures the third day. That's the Gospel. And when we preach the Gospel, it has power. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Thank God for these truths. All right. Now then, and so you see, we go on over in into chapter 10. And look here, he says in verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You know, those Old Testament priests, they didn't have there's no power there to remit sin. They just rolled them forward year after year, year after year. Okay, but he goes on to say, for them would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance. There it is. You see, again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Thank God for that. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. In other words, they stood. They never sat down. Why? Because their ministry was never finished. Their priesthood was never finished. But verse 12, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Thank God He finished our work. He remitted our sins. For the first time, the sins have been remitted. He had finished His work. He sat down at the right hand side of the Father. I'm thankful He's there tonight. He's there interceding for us. He pleading our case. Pleading our cause. Verse 13, from henceforth, expect until His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering, notice this, He has perfected for them forever them that are sanctified. Thank God to be sanctified. You see, we've been set apart by the power of God. You know, I saw an example when I was in my first church there in Callaway County, Kentucky, close to Murray. We didn't have a well. We had a cistern. Now, that goes way back. Some of you, you can go away tonight and say, Brother Fortin, we're preaching deep now because I'm way over your head. You know what a cistern is. But anyway, we had a cistern. It was held about 1,500 gallons of water. And I went down in there and cleaned it out. And I got down in there and, of course, I had a ladder. But a cistern is no more than a big pitcher. It's flat at the bottom, comes up like this. And it comes together, and there's one place up there. And that ladder down in there. But here's what I'm getting to. I looked up to that, and I thought to myself, that's a good example of where man is in sin. I was in that cistern, and without that ladder, I would be helpless. I mean, there'd been no way I could have gotten out without some device, either a ladder or a rope or something. You see, and if that ladder had been removed, I'd been helpless. I could have kept trying to climb the wall, but I'd fall back. And I thought, that's exactly where the lost sinner is. He's helpless, hopeless, doomed and damned for a devil's hell. And my friend, the only hope he has is Jesus, the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Oh, thank God for this glorious truth. Okay, now then. So He said, for by one offering He has perfected forever. There it is again. Perfected forever. Saved forever, you see. And for them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. And in their minds will I write them. As I said many, many times, that's where the problem is. God hasn't worked in the heart. I mentioned a while ago about Romans 3, 21 and 22. And 20, 21, 22. You see, that is the righteousness of God is available to everyone. It only becomes a possession of those that believe. And I want you to know that's where the trouble is tonight. You know, people talk about hypocrites. I've heard about hypocrites all of my ministry. People say, I don't want to go to that church. You've got hypocrites over there. Well, a hypocrite is a person who claims to have something they hadn't. That's where the trouble is. They're possessors. You know, many of them are professors and not possessors. I want to ask you a question. Do you possess Jesus? That's the difference. It's one thing to profess Christianity. One thing to profess to be saved. One thing to profess to be a church member. But another thing to possess the Lord Jesus Christ. Does He live in your heart? We talked about that last night. Does He live in your heart? All right. And so, as we think about this sacrifice, you know, thank God for these sacrifices. God gave them in order. I haven't got time to go there, but you know what I'm saying. I'm just reminding you of some things you've already heard. But, you know, we have the picture of those sacrifices all throughout the Old Testament. And I want you to know every one of those Jewish sacrifices, every drop of blood that was shed was pointing towards Jesus. Every altar, every sacrifice was pointing towards Jesus. We have those all throughout the Old Testament. And we have the lamb typology. I might say more about that I don't know if I will or not, but anyway, we'll try to get to what we feel like we need to. But anyway, you see, all the way through from Genesis, we mentioned while ago about Adam and Eve and how that God came on the scene and covered their nakedness. They had put fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. But you know, aprons don't cover. Think about that. They don't cover, but God covered them. That's all you need. We need God's covering. And oh, what a blessing and what a glorious truth. And we come all the way through the Old Testament about seeing the lamb typology. Come over into John chapter 1. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Thank God. We're talking about the sacrifices. So all through the Old Testament we have those sacrifices that was made. And they were made of the lambs. And they were to be a male lamb. And they were to be without spot, without blemish. They were to be looked upon, you see, and checked. And made sure that they were okay. You know, they looked at their eyes to make sure that they had good vision. They were not to offer a lamb that had eye problems. They checked their nose. They checked their ears. You know, as we think about that, they need to have good hearing. And we need to ask ourselves the question now, how about my hearing? What do I listen to? You know, this is very important. They check their eyes to see what they could see. And we need to be careful what we said. You know, the psalmist said, I set no evil thing before my eyes. Listen, we need to be cautious about these facts. And then they looked in this mouth, and we need to examine our mouth, you know. I'm so thankful to have a mouth. Brother Rain talked about the brother tonight that couldn't speak. That's a sad situation. But anyway, we need to use our mouth for the glory of God. And I was just thinking tonight as you were singing, you do a good job of your singing. People sing from the heart. You know, I sing by letter. I just open my mouth and let her fly. And that's all I know. But anyway, we need to make a joyful noise in the Lord. And that's what it's all about. What a blessing. And they lead the lamb across the platform and watch his walk. That's what we talked about last night, was the walk of the believer. We don't walk right to go to heaven. We want to walk right because we're going to heaven. You know, people are missing the mark tonight. They have this idea that we're trying to, you know, hold them to a certain area. But listen, it should be that we have a desire in our heart to do these things. In other words, the people say, "Well, I got to go to church today. If I don't, the preacher wasn't where I am." Well, he will, I'm sure, but that's not the reason we ought to go. We ought to go because we want to. Like I told you before, we wake up every morning, we ought to say, "Thank God I can go to church. What a blessing. Want to do what you need to do. Have a desire to go and hear God's Word. What a blessing." All right. Now then, and so they were, the animal was cut open and examined for infections. You know, we have a lot of spiritual infections. And every day, in my prayer, I try to take care of that. I ask God to forgive me of every sin, everything, any wrath or anger or clamor or evil speaking or evil thinking, greed, grudge, envy, spite, jealousy, bitterness, all these things we need to be careful about because they get in our way. We need to check ourselves for spiritual infections. And then, in closing, we want to think about the outcome. What we're talking about, you see, go back to our text, we're going to be quitting. There in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We read these and we'll be finished. We're talking about the outcome. What did he say? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to do God's will. I believe that's your purpose. I believe that's your desire in life. As we said the other night, our purpose in life as an individual and also as a church, and that is we bring honor and glory to God. And that's why you're here tonight, to bring honor and glory unto God. So as we think about this, come to the end of this message tonight. What about our condition? We're talking about an acceptable sacrifice. What am I giving to God? Am I giving Him? In other words, we come back to the same thing. What we need to do is just surrender. Surrender our all to Him. Surrender our heart to Him. What is it God wants you to do? God has a place in His service. God has something He wants you to do. And we just simply need to be willing to do what He wants us to do. We'd like to have an invitational hymn tonight. When the pianist comes, the song leader comes. The question is tonight, am I what God wants me to be? First of all, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, why not trust Jesus? As God speaks to your heart, like I've told you before, in all of my ministry, I've never asked anyone to do anything that the Holy Spirit of God wasn't moving in their heart. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, come to Him. As a child of God, what about it? What about my service? Am I the vessel that God wants me to be? Let's stand together while we sing number 124. Let God have His way, would you, while we sing.